Thanks be to God. David has displeased his Lord and God. David, who was selected by God through the prophet Samuel when he was coming in from shepherding and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. David, when he had come in from shepherding to bring food to the camps, slew the giant Goliath, saying that this very day the Lord will deliver you and that the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hand. David, who slew the Philistines. David, who calmed Saul with his music that he played so well. David, who wrote Psalms. David, the mighty warrior. David, the unifying king, whose response when God rebuked him for the house of God said, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is no one like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard and with our ears." It was this David that displeased his Lord. He has turned towards the world and seized what was not his, and others have paid the price for his lust. It is hard to imagine, in the midst of this story, where redemption can be found. But there is redemption. God sends Nathan once again. Now, Nathan has a very difficult task before him. Nathan has to tell the king he has done wrong. Now, think about this. In today's language, we might say Nathan has to do an intervention with King David. Except King David has just recently resorted to murder for those who were getting in his way. Nathan has to speak with that possibility facing him. Have you ever had to confront someone you loved or trusted? Someone who had gone the wrong path? Did you have to tell them that they were living a life that was displeasing to the Lord or engaging in activities that harm themselves or others? Have you ever had to mount that kind of intervention? There was a young man by the name of Ben Patterson who worked at a summer camp as a counselor, and he led middle schoolers and high schoolers. And his supervisor, Jim Slevkov, had to speak to him one day because, you see, poor Benny liked to play practical jokes on his co-workers. And there was this one prank that he decided to do with laxative gum in place of regular chewing gum. And the results of that got to his supervisor, to Jim, who called Benny into his office for a chat. And Benny sat there, and Jim sat behind the desk and pushed his chair back and lifted his eyes to the heaven, and tears were coming down. And he just gently said, "Benny, Benny." And Ben writes that in that moment he knew, through the tender affection of his supervisor, that he had gone way over the line of propriety, not to mention compassion, and that he owed all of his victims an apology. But what happens after that is because of the relationship established between the supervisor and the worker, a relationship of compassion and affection, they talked. They talked about Ben's impulsiveness, about his vindictiveness, about the meaning of Christian community, about leadership. Because for Jim, the goal was not to tear down Ben, but to lift him up, to build him up into a servant of God. Just as Paul tells us in Ephesians that we must speak the truth in love, and in so doing, we grow into the body of Christ. Well, Nathan has to speak the truth in love to David. And have you ever avoided that confrontation, avoided speaking the truth out of fear of the consequences, out of fear of the person with whom you have to share this news because of their position, because of their power? Nathan does not seem to have any of that fear. He speaks. And he uses this story. He uses a parable that David will understand. A parable that highlights for David of how he was living out of a self-centered worldview. That his position and power had taken over his understanding of being a servant of God, the shepherd of God's people. And there in the midst of Nathan speaking and of David listening, redemption comes. David turns toward the Lord and says, "I have sinned against the Lord." Now, David's life does continue to have struggles. All our lives in faith and in Christ continue to have struggles. There is a man who is best known for something he did that was not well. He was the founder of the Crips, a gang in Los Angeles. And in the midst of his growing this gang, Stanley Tookie managed to kill many, many people and ended up on death row. But in that place in prison, Stanley Tookie also had a change of heart, a turning towards God, and began to write children's stories, began to publish the word about peace, about love, about nonviolence. In fact, he ended up with a Nobel Prize for what he had done. Stanley Tookie wrote, and Stanley Tookie ended up executed as according to his sentence. Because we turn toward God, and because we receive that redemption in God, does not mean that the consequences of the actions that we took before we turned don't at some point play out in our lives. But redemption comes. Redemption comes because of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. If we look in the midst of the letter to the Ephesians, we realize that redemption comes because it is God's plan. It was God's plan that through this line of David, that the hope of the world would be born. That the redemption of the world would come through our son, through his son, Jesus Christ. So God's plans for redemption begin from the time that we leave that garden and are going into redemption even today. And Paul reminds us that it's the acts of one individual person who can change our lives. Douglas LeBlanc speaks of the carol, "Angels We Have Heard on High," and how when he was 9 years old, he was there in church singing it with his father, and his father was singing it in such a robust, off-key way that he just turned and looked and realized his father was drunk. His father was a melancholic, battered World War II vet who spent his life as an alcoholic and frightened the life of his mother and his older brothers. Yet Douglas saw this gentle Cajun every Sunday when he was in worship with his father, who still feared God. And a few years later, after that particular incident, his older brother becomes a Jesus freak, as he puts it. And his dad decides he's going to refute him and begins to read the Bible. And in the process of a year of reading the Bible, his father begins a relationship with Jesus and stops drinking. And yet he's still struggling with anger. But what Douglas remembers is a father of love rather than a father who he feared. And in 1992, his father did die. And he can imagine his father singing every Christmas when he's there in church, "Angels we have heard on high." And he rejoices that one day he will sing that with his father in heaven. Redemption comes. It comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has paid the price to redeem us all, to redeem us from the world. And once we begin that difficult journey of life in Christ, it will not be easy. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians to lead a life worthy of our calling, bearing with one another in love, striving for unity, making every effort, Paul says. That means speaking and listening to one another, even when we have to speak words that are challenging or listen to the challenge. So that in that manner, using our gifts, we can become equipped for the work of ministry. So that we can be building up the body and living lives out of love. So that all the world may know the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whether they are Stanley Tookies, or whether they are Douglas LeBlanc and his father, whether they are you or me, or someone we have just met, or someone God is calling us to meet. That plan of redemption begins in the midst of a broken people who are willing to risk their brokenness and share with one another. And take those steps to lead with one another. So that the world will not remain broken, but the world will be redeemed because we love one another and love the ones who don't look very lovable. So that love wins and redemption comes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our response to this